actually, you know, fascinated me or like inspired me to choose Enoch himself. I feel like, you know, throughout the Bible there isn't much about Enoch, but I feel like one of the things which actually, you know, surprised me and kind of, you know, helped me understand was him being taken by God, and that he was one of the, you know, the first person which is, we can see in the Bible, who was being taken by God, and who did not see death. So I feel like that's kind of has inspired me to think about and, you know, and ponder upon why God took, you know, Enoch and chose him out of everyone to, you know, live a life and take him to heaven. So if everyone could turn their Bibles to, you know, our main portion, which is in Hebrews chapter 11. So Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. So let us all collectively read together. So by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. But before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes must believe that he is. He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Could we also turn our Bibles to Genesis chapter 5? And this, Genesis chapter 5, 21 to 24, kind of tells us about where, you know, Enoch comes into the Bible and from the genealogy of Adam himself. So verses 21 and 20, verses 21 to 24. So if let us all read together. And Enoch lived 65 years and
became the father of Methuselah.
After he became
the father of Methuselah, 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah, and he had other sons and daughters.
So, bit of a background into who Enoch is. So, Enoch is the great-grandson of Adam, and he begot, as we read, Methuselah when he was 65. And he lived, or it's estimated that he lived 365 years. And, you know, according to the times, it's from around 3,038 BC to 3,019 BC. We do not know much about his family apart from knowing that he has 5 sons and 3 daughters, and that we also know that he is a prophet, which, you know, God spoke to him, and that's evident if you read Jude chapter 1, 14 and 15, which tells us about him prophesizing into the future. And we also know about Noah, who was born, you know, 69 years after, you know, Enoch himself and God taking him. One of the things, if you read chapter 11 of Hebrews and 5 and 6, is that the whole act is done by God because God looked at his faith and he did things which pleased God. So I firstly wanted to, you know, think about what it means to live a life which is faithful in God and which is, you know, walking with God. So firstly, I wanted to talk about, you know, faith in God's existence. You know, Enoch's faith was rooted in the belief that God exists. And we as Christians, we all believe, you know, and that's the fundamental, that there is a God and that he is the one and true God, and that through him we have faith and through him we have been saved. So if you turn our Bibles to our familiar portion, Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not by your own doing, but it is a gift of God, not the results of your works, not that no one may boast." You know, this highlights that our salvation is a gift from God. And it's not something we deserve, it's not because of what we did, but it's purely by faith. And it shows that by faith we receive this salvation. It also tells us that, you know, we have to believe in God, that we have to acknowledge that it's only by his grace that we have faith, and that through him is the foundation, and through him he created and he is the one who made everything. And you all know that through in his image, you're also made. If you also read John chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, it also talks about in the beginning, and that it talks about the foundation, and that through everything, you know, Jesus Christ becoming the Word, and that he is the Word. You know, it talks about the eternal existence and, you know, the divinity of Jesus Christ. And it tells us that Jesus always existed from the beginning. And we also know that he's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. You know, both Ephesians and John, you know, emphasize the fundamental role of faith in acknowledging God's existence and receiving his grace. And we also have to realize that, you know, Enoch's faith, and he realized that God was real and God was with him. And that inspired me to think about how many times in a day that we actually consider that we ourselves are made in God's image. And we ourselves belong to God. You know, being saved by his faith and not being saved by our faith in him, that we have to, you know, understand that he is the creator. And it also like helps us to understand that our whole sole purpose in life is given through him, and that God is someone who's watching us and is looking at us and he's understanding our needs. And you know, that we also have to play an active role in seeking him. You know, Enoch's faith was just not passive, but it was something which was active. And he did, you know, he lived a life which was actually purposeful, and it was through God, and he did a life seeking for God. You know, it's not enough to just acknowledge God's existence and just move on with our lives. But we also have to pursue him. And we have to understand that we have to have that passion and that zeal to pursue God with dedication and with passion. And that can be done, you know, by seeking him, seeking God through prayers, by looking at his word and, you know, reading him and knowing him more and more. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and chapter 15 and verse 58, if someone could read that, please.
Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord.
So, you know, as it tells us, we are immovable and we have to be abounding in the works of the Lord. And we also have that comfort that whatever we do for the Lord is not in vain. But, you know, God is helping us and is watching us as we walk. And, you know, in a life which is committed, and, you know, we have to serve. And we also have comfort in that, you know, that everything we do is for the Lord. And that God is caring enough, caring. And that God is someone who understands and, you know, looks for us. And we can, if you can also read Colossians chapter 6, chapter 3, verse 16 as well.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord.
You know, that the idea of letting the word of God dwell in us richly comes only through, you know, meditating his word and walking with him, and then, you know, embracing ourselves in the truth that it is Christ, and walking a life that, you know, which we are meant to do. Because Christ himself, you know, gives us purpose, and he gives us that eternal hope that we have through salvation, that we have the sole purpose of worshiping God and living with God. And, you know, he gives us value as human beings, as his children, and we have that purpose. So, and also, you know, singing songs and praising him and worshiping him also tells us that, you know, this is an active participation in the body of Christ. As we're all gathered here today, we sang songs, and that's to acknowledge God and to, like, grow in God and have that fellowship with one another as we're seeking God. You know, songs, you know, it might not mean much, but, like, if you're in times of need and if we're in times where we need comfort, you know, the words of those songs, you know, we just sing, but it could be, you know, it affirms us and it gives us that strength that through God we have that comfort and that We belong to God and we have that purpose in God. You know, it also edifies us as we, as you know, walking with God is a journey and it's not something, you know, which is, which God tells us, oh, just do this for me. I don't know, you know, whatever you do, it's not, I mean, it's not, I won't watch you, but you can just do it for your sake. But it's something which, you know, God gives each one of us as brethren in the body of Christ, that we encourage one another, that we support each other. You know, everyone will have moments where we are failing or in moments where we are, you know, not living a life which is, you know, certainly pleasing to God. But that's because we're in the flesh. But God provides us His Holy Spirit. God provides us His Word, which we can look into and we can, you know, have that posture of obedience and trust and we surrender to God. You know, Enoch's testimony also shows that his life was pleasing to God. You know, what that itself, you know, has a lot, you know. What does it mean to like live a life which is pleasing to God? Considering the days of Enoch himself, you know, considering your great, I mean, your grandfather himself, you know, I mean, your great-grandfather himself brought sin into this world because of the flesh, you know, and that idea of, you know, being responsible and wanting to live a life, which, you know, his grandfather didn't have, which Cain and Abel, I mean, yeah, they didn't have, but God himself was, and I mean, Enoch himself was understanding that if he walks with God and if he lives a pleasing life with God, which we should do, we have that hope that God is watching and he will bless us in all the things that we do. If we read Colossians chapter 1 and 10, you know, it says that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in his knowledge. We are encouraged to walk in the manner that is worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. This means collectively, you know, as believers, we strive to live lives that reflect commitment to Christ. As a community of faith, you know, we aim to be fruitful in everything we do, to make a positive impact to one another, to this world, and in our actions and our deeds. We also seek to grow in our knowledge of Christ, you know, deepening our understanding of his character and his ways by sanctifying ourselves daily by meditating him. We also bring joy and satisfaction to the heart of Lord. We might not be aware, but you know, whenever we do something, you know, God is watching us and he is pleased because of what we do. And if you also read Colossians chapter 3, 23 and 24, it says, you know, whatever we do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that for the Lord you will receive the reward of his inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. The authority that God has, you know, over everything and everyone, it encourages us to, you know, be aware that God is almighty and all-powerful, that, you know, he does everything, and we have that heavenly reward which motivates us to serve God faithfully. Many people in this world, you know, seek for purpose. It's the big question in life, that what am I here for? What am I, you know, living in this world for? And what am I doing with my life? But we as Christians, and through the Word of God, have purpose. You know, that Christ is our purpose. That we live a life which we should live a life which is pleasing God. And, you know, we should seek God diligently in all the things that we do. And we should also acknowledge that it is because of God and through him and us having faith in him, you know, we are saved and we have value. I also wanted to, you know, help myself and you guys understand what it means to live a life which is Christ-pleasing. You know, it starts with living a life which is personal with God. It's not about, you know, doing it, I mean, as a fellowship it matters, but it's also about having that personal relationship with God. You know, this acknowledgement comes when we repent for our sins, when we invite God into our hearts, And, you know, it starts with, you know, acknowledging that Jesus is our Savior and our Lord. And if we are truly born again, this comes through faith. And which we can see through Enoch, that he had that faith. He knew that God is the only true way to being saved. And God cared enough for him that he took him away from facing death, you know. And it also talks about, it also, you know, Christ's pleasing life also means studying God's word. You know, regularly engaging in God's word, regularly meditating in God's word, in Bible studies, for example, which we're all gathered. This is to, you know, encourage one another and to grow in the knowledge of God, which provides us. You know, the scriptures provide guidance. You know, it gives us a purpose in life and gives us a living a life that aligns with Christian's truth. You know, we might not know what God wants us to do if we do not read what God wants us to do. And the only way to know what God wants us to do is by reading His word and having fellowship with one another and having that commitment with God. You know, we might not understand things at first, but it's the walk, you know, it's the walk of acknowledging. And it might be years and forth into your relationship with God, into your faith. But God is someone who speaks to you newly and newly every single day. And it might seem like it's not progressing, but it's that through Him, through having that consistency, we have that knowledge. And another thing which, you know, helps us live a life which is Christ-pleasing is through prayer and communion with one another. You know, praying about one another's needs and, you know, acknowledging that we ourselves are not perfect and we ourselves require God's help and we ourselves, you know, take part in the table of the Lord. And that's to acknowledge, you know, what Christ's sacrifice was done. And if we do not acknowledge or if we do not, you know, take part in the Lord's table and if we do not, you know, understand and pray to God, we wouldn't, you know, cultivate in our prayer life or in our actual life, because it takes a lot for someone to actually understand God's word. It also takes a lot, you know. God wants a relationship with Him. God wants us to talk to Him, and God wants us to, you know, wants a relationship where we are talking to Him. And He wants, you know, He doesn't want to just sit there and watch us, but He wants us to understand, and He wants us to grow in Him, because He wants us to be more like Him and be closer to Him. Another thing which, you know, which also is Christ-pleasing is serving one another. And, you know, that may be by sharing tracts, that may be by, you know, understanding and helping one another through having that fellowship, you know. We all have different needs. We're all differently financially stable. We're all seeking something, might be, you know, through health, through mental health, through actual physical help. But, you know, serving one another, helping one another, showing that compassion and that kindness, you know, that which we saw through the life of Jesus. We wouldn't be here if, you know, Christ Himself didn't show us that love and compassion and that kindness to us. And we need to reflect as believers that Christ's love in our actions. And, you know, it might be as little as, you know, singing songs and teaching and others about, you know, the Word of God. And we all know that in Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit, that's also another thing which, you know, Galatians chapter 5, 22 to 23, it describes the fruit of God as love, joy, peace, you know, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You know, we have to strive every single day, remind ourselves that to be more like Jesus, we need to have all those qualities in life. We need to, you know, walk in that path. We have to acknowledge that God and the power of Holy Spirit will help us. You know, that we can't just blatantly just believe, and we can't just, you know, say that we are Christians if we do not, you know, a life which is pleasing with God, we need to, you know, seek the fruit of the Spirit. We shouldn't be of this world, you know. That when you're truly born again, there is a change, right, in our lives. We all have that testimony, that changing point in our lives where God spoke to us and God, you know, changed our lives. It might be in the slightest way of knowing Him, but we have that change in our lives, you know. And that comes through, and that, you know, develops through the fruit of the Spirit. You know, if you don't love one another, if you're not happy in life, if you don't have that peace, if you don't have that patience, or that kindness with one another, you know, we are not growing. And that's not something, you know, we should be ashamed of. Because we as humans, we have downfalls. And, you know, we have to acknowledge that through everything, you know, we might fall back. You know, we are humans, it's okay to fall back. And we have to, you know, find strength. And that comes through, you know, the fellowship with one another. So I guess another thing which also, you know, helps us live a life which is Christ-pleasing is having fellowship with other believers. And, you know, it's not just engaging in, like, just going to church and coming back, but it's also about, you know, strengthening each another, encouraging one another, and, you know, talking about God. And, you know, it might be, you know, hard in living a life which is full of, I mean, living in a world which is full of darkness, full of, you know, full of, you know, darkness and, you know, sin. But, you know, having that fellowship and separating ourselves to the truth, you know, is something which shows that we're living a life which is pleasing to God. And I guess another thing is not setting back in, you know, when God calls us, when God asks us to lead, you know, it's calling, and it's not because God doesn't know our capabilities. It's not because God doesn't understand who we are, but we have to solely trust in Him and have that faith in Him that, you know, that God will lead us, and that our willingness to follow His direction and listening to His calling, getting out of that comfort zone, you know, making sacrifices. You know, I might be not someone, you know, who likes to speak in public. You know, it might be something, you know, we are discouraged by and we are not fond of. But, you know, God tells us that we should try. And God tells us that we should, you know, get out of the comfort zone. And, you know, it's not something which is easy. It comes through practice and it comes through, you know, many downfalls. But we have one another to encourage, and we have that word, you know. And we also have that continuous growth, which I am coming back to, you know. Having that growth in seeking and having that faith, you know, it's about learning and correction and transformation by the Holy Spirit. And it sounds repetitive, but I'll come back to faith as a foundation. You know, if we do not have that faith, if we do not have that understanding, you know, we can't live a life which is pleasing to God. It might sound, you know, just outright wrong. It might sound that it's, you know, confronting. But it is the truth. I mean, if you read, you know, I mean, Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible. You know, if you don't have that faith, it is impossible. So it is impossible for us to live a life if we do not have that faith. And we have to earn it. And we earn it by, you know, acknowledging all the things I just said. You know, developing a personal relationship with God, studying God's word, serving one another, and, you know, through prayer and having that, you know, responding to God's calling. We need to do all of these things, and that comes through faith. It starts with faith, and then we acknowledge God, and then we, you know, live a life which is pleasing to God. Another aspect I want to talk about, you know, which is highlighted in Enoch, is he walked with God. You know, walking with God, you know, once again, you know, comes, as I already said, but I'll go into the circumstances which, I'll briefly cover the circumstances which we might face. So we have, you know, times of blessings and joy, times of trials and temptations, times of decision making, when we are facing challenges in our relationship, in everyday works and responsibilities, in times of temptations, in times of waiting. You know, when life is going all well, it's easy to forget about God. You know, we as humans tend to think about God in our times of need. You know, we tend to think about, you know, God when we actually need Him in life. So, you know, it's easy to forget about, you know, the source that which we get our blessings and joy is from God. If we read James chapter 1, you know, chapter 1 and verse 17, if someone could read that.
Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to the change.
You know, it tells us that every good gift and every perfect gift is coming from God. So, if we are walking with God, you know, through all the things we have to acknowledge, even in the good things that we have to acknowledge, that it's blessing from God, and it's God who is helping us. And if someone else could read 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8.
And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always, having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed.
You know, God's ability to bless us abundantly, you know, providing us with all that we need, you know, we need in excel in every good work. God blesses us, and we need to acknowledge that. You know, we can't do anything if God's not with us. We can't, you know, as it clearly says, that everything comes from God. So we have to, you know, recognize, and which Enoch did himself. You know, Enoch recognized that God is the source of every good thing in his life. And he expressed gratitude, you know, using his blessings to glorify God. And the blessing which he got from God is prophesizing, you know, that he has the ability to share his word, I mean, share God's word, you know, to others, and to, you know, alert them and to share. We all have different gifts. We all have been blessed in different ways. But it's about using that gift. And it's about, you know, acknowledging that it's God that he provided us with that gift. And we should be thankful. You know, it doesn't come, you know, naturally, but it's something which God provides us. You know, we might all excel in different things, but we have to acknowledge that it's God's blessing. And that in times of celebration, we might forget. And, you know, Enoch walked with God, you know, closely with God, inviting him in every aspect of his life, you know, and acknowledging God's abundant grace and goodness. Another circumstance we face is in times of trials and in challenges. You also know that, like, life is always not smooth sailing, you know. Walking with God is difficult. But it also means that leaning on him for strength and comfort. You know, we all have different challenges. We all have different trials, you know. And, you know, having that understanding and seeking his guidance and, you know, wisdom to navigate through tough situations, you know, trusting that God is in control, and even when things seem uncertain. And, you know, logically it might not make sense to us. You know, physically it might not make sense to us. But, you know, God is all-knowing and God is all-purpose. I mean, God is all-fulfilling. So, through that faith, you know, going back to the faith, through that faith we have to acknowledge. And that it's okay to be, you know, it's okay to be hurting. It's okay to be brokenhearted, you know. But God provides us comfort and God provides us salvation. If someone could read Isaiah 41:10.
Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, surely I will help you, surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand.
You know, that verse there, you know, comforts us, you know, that it's he is with us and he is at the right hand. In the fear of uncertainty, in the times of, you know, in the times of challenges, we know that he is there and he's a present help. He will promise to strengthen us and help us and uphold us in his loving care. One of the things, you know, Enoch acknowledged is that we can turn to God in prayer, you know, seeking his guidance and his wisdom to navigate through life's tough situation. You know, and God is sovereign, and Enoch understood that, and we need to, and Enoch, you know, endured hardships. You know, it's hard to, you know, convince people, and I mean, it's hard to help people look things in a different perspectives. You know, I personally believe, you know, it doesn't come through that. You know, the first time listening to the word of God isn't always convincing, but it's about the repetitive. It's about that, you know, it's that conscience, and it's about the thinking, you know, that through all that, you know, Enoch endured and Enoch faced challenges. And you know, living, what, 300, 400 years, think about it. Like, we struggle at, like, 65, 70, you know, that. But Enoch, you know, having that faith, living for 300 and 400 years, and, you know, walking that with God is a great thing. And, you know, acknowledging that it is Him, and He is, you know, with us in trials and temptations, no matter what the circumstances, He is with us. You know, another thing is we as humans have is decision making. We all face that challenge, you know, it might be, you know, waking up at like 7:40 in the morning and, you know, going back at bed. So it's all that times in our lives where we make decision. It might be, you know, buying a new car, buying a new house. It's all that financial decisions we have to make. You know, it's about, you know, what we teach our kids, what we teach our children, I mean, what we teach our parents and all that, you know, how we talk to them. It's all about decision making in life. You know, it's our decisions, you know, we have to, sometimes it might be challenging, but we have to pray to God. We have to talk to God and understand that He's prompting us and He has given us that Holy Spirit that we might, you know, look onto Him and consult Him before we make that decisions. You know, it might be hard to think about it from, you know, human life, but, you know, when we seek to Him in His Word, when we commit our prayers to Him, you know, it gives us and He helps us to go into the right decision. If someone could read Psalms 32 and verse 8.
I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you.
You know, that verse provides us comfort, that it is God Himself that will guide us. So whenever we are making decisions, we should be conscious that God is there with us. We should be aware that God can help us making that decision. You know, and we also need to commit our works to the Lord. And we need to establish our thoughts in the Lord. You know, we might all have different plans in life. We might all want different things. But, you know, we also have to consider what God wants. We have to think about what God's plans are in our life. And it might be not revealed to us now. But if we, you know, focus on Him and if we walk with Him, they will, you know, express and God will teach us those things. And Enoch's walk with God, you know, is he was seeking God in every decision he made. You know, moving from a place to place is a hard thing. Meeting new people, not understanding what they speak and what might they say, you know, concerning our behavior, you know, we might be afraid that they will judge us and we might be afraid that they will, you know, make, you know, choices about us and what how they talk to us. But, you know, we are consolidated in His Word that, you know, in our decision making that we should seek God. And, you know, Enoch's commitment to walk with God, you know, and God taking and God making that decision to take, you know, Enoch with Him was because, you know, he saw the decision Enoch was making and he saw that it was right in the sight of God. You know, we have many people in the Bible who made wrong decisions. You know, we have David, for example, and we have, you know, Samson, for example. They were all given gifts by God. They were all living in God's way. But it's when that they didn't consolidate God and they let their fleshly desires make those decisions, that's when they failed in life. So it might be the little decision we make, you know, but it also have the biggest impact. So we have to think about the decisions we make. We have to, you know, acknowledge that it's God, you know, walking with us and helping us in making those decisions. Another thing, you know, we live a life in making relationships with one another. You know, we have relationships with our family, we have relationships with our children, with our great-grandparents, and, you know, people we meet on this road, you know. It's all about those relationships. And, you know, we have to live in a relationship that shows the fruit of the Spirit, that shows that we are someone who is loving, who is kind and forgiving. You know, that's hard because, you know, we might have a personality and we might have, you know, that physical, you know, how we've been growing up. You might not think, you know, it might be good in our sight, but it might be wrong in someone else's sight. But we have to come with forgiveness. We have to come with kindness and loving. You know, someone might, you know, do wrong against us. Someone might do, you know, something which annoys us as children, but something which, you know, puts us in difficult circumstances in a relationship. But, you know, we have to strive to be peacemakers. You know, we have been reconciled with God. You know, we have to acknowledge that, you know, through all the things, you know, humans did, you know, we have been born into sin. We have to acknowledge that still God reconciled, you know, reconciled us to Him. You know, if you think about, you know, God being holy and someone who is separated, you know, that think about how holy God must have to be that He has to, you know, kick out, lose the people He loved that He created in His own image. And the severity of the situation, you know, that relationship had to be broken because of how holy God was. And still yet we sit here knowing that God reconciled us, that God bought us through His Son, you know. And if you think about that through, you know, the scale of that in our relationships, you know, it's nothing. So we have to, you know, acknowledge and we have to, you know, deal in our relationship with forgiveness and kindness. If someone would could read Colossians 3:13.
Bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do.
You know, it clearly says we must forgive one another. We should not hold grudge against one another. You know, it might be something which, you know, it's not... It's personal. It might be something which they might not be aware. But it's about that forgiveness, you know, God provides us. It's about that understanding God provides us. You know, if someone else could read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2 and 3.
With all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
You know, we have to show humility, gentleness and patience. We all know that, you know, the people who are peacemakers of this world, you know, take inspiration from the Bible, right? If you take Mahatma Gandhi, for example, many people quote the Word of God because they know that we as Christians should be living a life which, you know, promotes a peaceful relationship with one another, which promotes unity, which promotes, you know, no discrimination, which promotes, you know, people are different, but we have to acknowledge that through Christ, we are made and we are brought into those relationships with one another. It might be, you know, challenging, but we have to acknowledge that, you know, walking the life means we have to, you know, in difficult situations, we might be lonely, we might be, you know, suffering, but we have to be acknowledging one another and we have to have that good relationship. We have to have that Christ-like relationship with one another. You know, Enoch, you know, we can draw strength from Enoch because we see the relationship he had with God, right? You think about how close God must have to be, you know, to think and bring Enoch out of that death, you know, out of, you know, that suffering in that world, because he loved Enoch and he knew that everything he did in his life was a pleasing life. You know, and we have that hope in him nowadays as well. We have that rapture and the second coming of God. We know that if we live a life with God, we will be taken up to heaven. You know, just like Enoch. We have to acknowledge the closeness of that relationship, you know, Enoch had. You know, we also know that Enoch is a human being, that he sinned, he might have sinned. And we also know that he, you know, faced challenges with relationship with God. You know, God is a supernatural being, right? It's not like a human relationship. It's challenging to talk to God, you know, and it's challenging to understand God. But compare that to a human life, you know, we have that physical connection. We have that, you know, mental connection with one another. You know, it's acknowledging that, you know, our relationships should be Christ-like. And also, another thing is, we all have to sustain in this world. We all have to have certain responsibilities as humans. You know, we all work for someone. We all work under big organizations. But, you know, we have to acknowledge God in those things as well. You know, walking with God in our daily tasks involves doing everything with excellence and integrity. We have to reflect Christ. You know, our workmates, our people who work with, might be of this world. And that's okay, because they do not know God. But we need to separate ourselves, and we need to be positive in our workspaces. We need to, you know, think about our colleagues and the people who work with us. And we need to, you know, set an example in a way that we have to, you know, show that we are different from them. And that's when they know God. You know, my dad always tells me that, you know, he is different from his workmates. And, you know, that he tells me that, you know, people look at him and they think that, you know, he's separating himself. But he knows the truth. You know, he has that faith. And I feel like, you know, we should all have that faith. But we should, you know, not, you know, accompany ourselves into the work colleagues. You know, we spend most of our time at work, but, you know, we should still separate ourselves and have boundaries. We should still, you know, speak with wisdom. You know, we shouldn't speak of things which might be not right in the sight of God to our workmates. We should, you know, work with integrity. We should work with honesty, and, you know, we should work with, you know, in a way which is pleasing to God. You know, God reminds us, you know, that we need, I mean, bread in this life. We need, you know, we need the things of this world, right? It might not seem like we do, but, you know, in the current situation, we need to work. We need to live in this world and we need to sustain. And it could be that God's testing us, you know? And that moves me on to in times of temptation. You know, we all face temptations, but walking with God provides us that strength, you know? If you read Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 and 6.
Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person.
Yep, see that comes through faith. So, you know, see the outsiders, as it says, that the people we don't talk to, the people we do not associate with, they need to look at us and see the image of God. And they need to, like, witness that we are chosen by God, and we have to be separated from God. You know, we need to turn to God in times of temptation. You know, it's okay to be tempted. You know, that's what Satan's job is. Satan's job is to take us away from God. Satan's job is to put us back to where we came from. And, you know, falling into temptation is something we all face, and something which is okay, you know. But it's having that strong faith. It's having that, you know, truth and the Holy Spirit in us, which helps us acknowledge, and that, you know, which helps us and makes us stronger and have a good heart, you know. If someone could read, you know, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17.
I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of flesh.
Yeah, it says,
For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish.
See, it says, you know, the work of the flesh works against the Spirit. But God provides us with the Holy Spirit because He wants, you know, He wants us to live a life which is in accord with Him. And that completely goes against lust. That completely goes against flesh. So it's okay to be confused. It's okay to be, you know, falling into the traps of temptations. But we have to also acknowledge the power of the Holy Spirit, that we should resist in the fulfilling of the desires of the flesh, that we should resist in the truth which God provides us. You know, like Enoch, we can turn to God in prayer during times of temptation, seeking for His help and His guidance, and standing firm in our faith. You know, just as Enoch found support and accountability in his relationship with God. You know, being discriminated against, you know, being, you know, faced with challenges where everyone's seeing you and thinking you're different. You know, that's a challenging thing, you know, and Enoch felt that, you know, and Enoch faced that, you know. I'm sure he had times where he wished that he was not like everyone else. He wished like he was normal in the sense of the world. But, you know, we have that reminder that if we have that faith and if we walk with God, we can resist the temptation. And we have the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to do that. Another thing, you know, as Christians we face is a time of waiting. You know, we all wait and we all seek for something, you know. Walking with God involves waiting. You know, we're also waiting for the second coming example. So we're looking and seeking God and having that patience in God. You know, walking with God during the seasons of waiting involves trusting God. And, you know, reading His Word and developing patience and perseverance. We might be someone who, you know, doesn't like to wait. Doesn't want to, you know, wants everything right then and there. But, you know, God humbles us in that sense. God wants us to wait. And God wants us to think about, you know, what we require in life. And, you know, if someone could read Psalms 27:14.
Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord.
It says, wait on the Lord. You know, if God didn't want us to wait, you know, if God, you know, just want, you know, if He wanted everything then and there, you know, He could do that. But He loves each one of us. And He knows that, you know, if we live a day on this earth, we are being challenged. And if we live a day on this earth, you know, we are facing problems, we are growing in the Lord. So by the time, you know, God comes, we will be strong in our faith. We'll be able to say, God, you can reflect back on our lives and think, God, we lived a life which is holy and acceptable for you. And we lived a life which is, you know, holy, O Lord. And we can also think about, you know, that He says that he is faithful and He will, you know, fulfill His promises. He isn't someone, you know, who will just make us wait for the sake of it. He isn't someone who doesn't fulfill things. But we know, you know, throughout the past that God is someone who fulfills the needs of one another. He fulfills, you know, the time of waiting will be over. So we have that comfort that, you know, when we wait upon the Lord, it might be for whatever we need in this life. It might be for something, you know, we might require. You know, we have asked for long ago. But it's about God testing our patience and having that perseverance in God. If someone could read Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31.
Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become lame.
You see, it says they will walk and they will not become lame. You know, if we do not wait upon the Lord, if we do not trust upon the Lord, and if we do not, you know, if we give up on the Lord, you know, that doesn't truly help us to walk with God. You know, we have to realize that God knows that, you know, waiting is hard. God knows that, you know, waiting for things is hard. But He said He will provide us that comfort. He will not disregard our patience. You know, Enoch walked with God, you know, it involved times of, you know, waiting. He waited and he was with God for 365 years, you know, and before God took him. During those long years, you know, he had that trust in God. He had that, you know, God's timing, and he had that faith. But he knew that if he waited upon the Lord and if he, you know, stuck with God, that God will, you know, fulfill all the things. And, you know, like Enoch, we can also learn that, you know, his example, that during the seasons of waiting, trusting the Lord is helpful. And trusting the Lord and waiting upon the Lord deepens our relationship. And God's timing is perfect. We might not think, you know, that God, we want, it would have been better now. if we have this now. But that might be not in according with God's plan. It might be, you know, not according to the will of God. So it's about having that weight and having that patience in life. You know, it says it builds us stronger. It helps us to fly. You know, flying is like, it's like a metaphor that, you know, it helps us to think about that freedom. It provides us that freedom. And it provides us that, you know, knowledge and comfort that we are free in God. You know, before I close, I just want to, you know, summarize, you know, all that I've shared. I believe, you know, through the life of Enoch, we see that, you know, we need to have that deep and close relationship with God. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't start with, you know, believing in God, but it's about the consistent life. It's about that, you know, acknowledging God in everything we do. It's about, you know, thinking about God in all the decisions we make, all the times we go through in this life, you know. It's about having that genuine connection with God, and it starts with faith. So if you do not have that faith, and if you do not have that stronghold in God, you cannot live a life which is Christ-pleasing. Another thing is, you know, consistency in God. You know, it's hard. You know, living and being perfect is hard. But, you know, through God, we have comfort. You know, He's telling us that He will help us. He will sanctify us and He will comfort us, right? So we have that understanding. So it's through Him, we have that comfort. You know, for me personally, what I can take from Enoch is, you know, acknowledging and being more aware of the relationship we have with God. And, you know, walking with God isn't just something, you know, which is just temporary. It's something we are accountable for. You know, God's judgment, it will come upon us. But we have to, you know, think about how we lived our life on this earth. We have to think about what God provided us with. You know, God tells us that He will provide us with everything. But we have to understand that, like, and we have to adapt. That, you know, if God provides us, then we should search for it, right? God says, seek, you know, you will find and knock. And now He'll open the door. But we have to do that. We have to play our part in seeking God. We have to play our part in living a life which is faithful and consistent. And, you know, the reward we can see in Enoch's life, you know, he has found favor in God's sight. You know, God knew that he was perfect, and God knew that he lived a life which was faithful and consistent, and God took him with him. God took him. So, you know, we have that promise that God will take us as well. So let us all prepare ourselves, you know, let us all think about living that life which is holy and, you know, consistent and faithful. And most importantly, having that faith in God. So, yeah, uncle. Thank you.